Despite having attended many events in the Ruther Auditorium over the years and having met many Ruther graduates, I still don't know much about Ruther High School today and the role it plays within KUSD and our community. And I thought, I can't be the only one for whom Ruther is a bit of a mystery. So here with us today to demystify our most beautiful and historic school building and all that goes on within are Amari Robinson, who is currently a senior at Ruther Central High School. She's attended Ruther all 4 years of her high school career and plans on attending a four-year college after high school. Hi, Amari.
Hi.
And Jessica Ocampo is a third-year student at Alverno College studying business management and philosophy. She graduated from Ruther in 2013 and holds very fond memories of her high school experience there. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Karen.
And Katie Otto graduated from Carthage College with degrees in elementary education, cross-categorical special education, and a master's in education in leadership and teaching. She has been a ninth grade special education teacher at Ruther Central High School for 6 years and has been teaching in the blended learning program for 4 years. Hi.
Hi.
And Karen Walters has worked in varied roles at Kenosha Unified School District for almost 25 years. She started at Ruther Central High School 12 years ago as the assistant principal and is in her sixth year as the principal. Her primary focus for her work has been student engagement and learning and professional development of staff. So I'd like to begin by asking Karen to describe Ruther's sort of basic info. How many students, how many teachers and other personnel, what kinds of programs are currently offered? That's just the basics for us.
Well, we have over 400 students in our school and in the various programs. And our staff, depending what type of staff you're talking about, we have over 50 staff.
Mm-hmm. And so what are some of the programs that are offered? Is it, you know, sort of traditional classes, or are there lots of different kinds of classes?
Well, we have, at this time, we have three different programs within our school. Our primary program is called our Blended Learning Academy, which is probably most of our 300 students are attending in that program. Ruther is a school of choice, so students apply to come to that program. They might apply as a ninth grader. Most of our students come to us as ninth graders, and then we also take some students later who apply each year, and we interview them, and if we have openings, they can join that blended learning program or our other programs. The other two programs are a small lab program for some students who do independent learning and a graduation test option program for older students who are looking for an alternative diploma.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about how students end up choosing Ruther over one of the big high schools in town. So maybe you or Katie could tell us that, and then we'll ask our two students and graduates to tell us how they ended up choosing Ruther.
So. Sure. I think, this is Katie. I think a big part of the decision is a lot of students come to us because they are looking forward to that smaller environment. Our smaller class sizes are very much encouraged, and I think that's a big part of why some students choose Ruther mm-hmm. initially.
And so, Amari, I have to ask you, how did you choose Ruther?
Well, it was a big process because it was decided after I got out of McKinley Middle School that I wouldn't go to, like, a normal high school. Mm-hmm. So we looked at choice schools like Indian Trail, Harborside, and Ruther. Indian Trail we never made it to, we never made it to the open house for Harborside. So when we came to Ruther, it was just like looking around, and it was smaller, and it was more like McKinley's, like smaller-wise. Mm-hmm. And then what really sold me was the guitar thing because I've always wanted to play guitar, so...
Tell me, what's the guitar thing?
The guitar thing, we have a guitar ensemble that started 4 years ago when I started. So for the past 4 years, I've been in guitar ensemble, and we do concerts around the community, and we just have a lot of fun with it. It's a whole bunch of students. There's no age limit on it from freshman on up.
How many students are in it right now?
About, I'd say 16
wow.
of us.
I had no idea. Wait, so who teaches the guitar ensemble?
Pete Rollo. He's the guitar teacher, digital competition teacher, as well as the choir teacher that started up 2 years ago.
Right. Wow, that is pretty exciting.
I remember that. When I started, my last year, there was like 12 of you guys or even a smaller amount of people who had joined that.
You're going to have a rush of applications because I think that would be very, very popular. Was that the thing that really turned your head?
It really was, because when we went through the open house and Pete Rollo was just sitting there like, hey, we have a guitar ensemble. My mom turned to me. She's like, you've always wanted to play the guitar. I was like, yes, I know. So that's what hooked me.
Wow. This is Karen, and I just want to say, in case it's not really obvious from what Amari's saying, she did not play guitar before she came, and it is not necessary for students to have guitar skills to come learn the guitar and then eventually be in the guitar ensemble. The way Mr. Rollo teaches is everything from beginning, but we do also have students who have skills already who come just because it is a unique opportunity in Kenosha.
So how many different kinds, like, you know, if you were in an orchestra, you'd have, you know, or just a chamber orchestra, you'd have like violins, violas, whatever. So how many different sizes or kinds of guitars are there?
We all play acoustic guitars, okay. So they're all the same, but some are steel and some are nylon.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of our players have certain skills. So, like, me, I'm good with more of the melody, more of the fast-paced type things. And there's some of our players who are good with, like, the bass notes and stuff like that. So it really does depend on your skill level. And like Karin said, I didn't have any skills before I started playing. And now the things that I can play, there's no way I should be able to play them at all. Pete's, like, the most amazing teacher ever.
Wow. That is a really interesting thing. So aside from the guitar ensemble, though, I'm just curious as to sort of what else made you decide to come to Reuther.
It was smaller class sizes. Oh. I know myself, and in a very big class setting, I tend to get very distracted and very unfocused, mm-hmm. and I won't pay attention at all. Mm-hmm. So now that it's, like, very small class sizes, like, the teacher grabs my attention, and I can pay attention. So I won't worry about what everyone else is doing around me.
What's a typical class size?
Like sometimes 13, sometimes 26. It really does depend on what the class mm-hmm. is.
An average class size would be 20 for our regular core content classes. We have some that go above that in some semesters. And then we do have in our elective classes, it does sometimes vary a little bit how small some of those classes might get.
Hmm. So then I'm going to turn to Jessica, who graduated from Reuther. So you must have started in what year? Do you remember what was your freshman?
2009. Right. Am I right? Yeah, I think.
Okay, so what made you decide to come to Reuther?
My brother actually started his junior year there, I want to say. He was originally at Indian Trail, and because of his credit deficiency, he went to Reuther. And my mom, and he did really well there, and he ended up graduating from there. And my mom kind of pushed me into going there. She kind of didn't, she, like, told me I would be going there, and I was not opposed to it. But me and my best friend, we actually decided on going there, and mm-hmm. it was just a smaller environment, and we were really thrilled about going camping every year. So that was probably the most fun I've had. When I remember school.
Wait,
going
camping?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Somebody here, enlighten us. What is the, what camping, where, how, how much?
Yeah, we would do like Outward Bound, so nice. To speak. I know Harborside is really, when they speak of themselves, that's what they talk about. And mm-hmm. we were really, I don't know, we did that before they even came into our school. And mm-hmm. we would take probably 3 days or, I don't know, it's mm-hmm. been so long. But we would go camping and we would do outside activities and just to get to know our fellow classmates and our staff. And
is that
so
at the beginning of the school year?
Well, currently we offer this year, it's a little different each year. It depends on, you know, just what our design is for the year and what our funding is. But we always offer a beginning of the year freshman trip so that the incoming class can work at getting to know each other and getting to know the staff even better. And then this year we also had beginning of the year junior and senior trips, which were really focused on learning new members of the grade level and also post-secondary kinds of planning and thoughts. So that was something we tried new this year. And then in our intensives, which happen in January and in end of May, we sometimes have camping trips, and the winter ones not so much, but the May We've had different ones that focus on water rafting or canoeing or things like that that can be for a couple of nights and 3 days.
So where do you go?
We've done kind of all over the place. We've done Lions Camp. We've done YMCA camps. We've done a couple.
We went up north to Bear Paw,
Bear Paw, Devil's Lake, Lake Geneva. So we've kind of hit pretty much across, you know, varying 3 to 4 hours away, but kind of staying around town as well.
So did they tell you when you applied to work there, Katie, that you're going to take a 3-day camping trip with a lot of teenagers? Is this like part of the application?
Yes, and I actually spent one of my birthdays with 60 freshmen on the trip. So, I think it's really a good time for not only the students to bond with themselves, but for the teachers to see the students in a different light and for them to see that we're humans outside of the classroom too. So, you know, we play sports and we do different activities with the students during the camping trips, and they can see us struggle with certain things. So it's been really good, and I've enjoyed every single camping trip that I've been on, because there's always a moment that you see like a breakthrough with a kid, like facing a challenging task, whether it's up a rock wall or it's archery or just different things that you can eventually bring back to the classroom and kind of talk about that. Remember that challenge of like wanting to get over the rock wall? Well, this is like this in math, and we kind of make those similarities back into the classroom and kind of get that frustration academically and then work it through just like we would have on the camping trip.
That's a great idea. So is it the first time for some of the students, is the first time they've gone camping, do you think?
This is Amari. For a lot of the students, sometimes it is for the style that we do it. Mm-hmm. Recently, I went on the freshman camping trip as a leader to, like, make sure they were doing the reflections and stuff like that. And you could tell, like, a lot of the things that we did, like, they'd never done it before. Like, the rock wall, like, they'd never gone, like, straight up. Like, because in the middle schools, they have it, like, side to side. Mm-hmm. So going straight up is a lot more challenging because you have to focus on more of, like, your upper body and lower body strength. And then, like, the zip line, like, a lot of them haven't done that before and they're afraid of heights. So you just, like, talk them through it, say it's going to be okay, stuff like that. And, like, we had to get everyone over this wall, and we had to use teamwork and our upper body strength and plan to literally get everyone over the wall and on the other side. So I think it's a good thing that we have this, because it creates, like, a team environment and you get more comfortable with people. Like, you don't, I don't know how to put it, you're not so shut in and enclosed in your own little bubble. Like, your bubble expands and more people come in it, and you're more comfortable with everyone that you're around.
Wow. Well, I've now learned two amazing things. See, I'm unraveling the Ruther mystery. We've got guitar ensemble. We have camping trip. And I'm going to ask more about blended learning in a little bit. But first, I want to ask Jessica, since you are now in college, you're a third year, is that right?
Yeah.
And you go to El Verno, which is obviously a challenging college. So how did you feel well prepared by your experience at Ruther? And have you ever compared it with some of the other people that you go to college with? Did they have a similar high school experience, or is yours really unique?
I think mine's is really unique. Just talking about camping is so funny to me because it was so long ago, and just brings back a lot of memories about reflection and how the camping trips had purposes. And just I think those sort of camping trips got me a lot closer with certain teachers. And so now that I'm in college, I really do, like, one of my instructors is Pat Thompson. She actually referred me to El Verno, and she's an El Verno alumni, and her teaching style that we did freshman and sophomore year, she was my English teacher. She, everything that she taught us and the way she taught her class, when I went to El Verno, I saw that immediately. We were freshmen, and she was prepping us the way she was taught and the way she taught at El Verno as freshmen in high school is what I was redoing as a freshman in college.
Wow.
So I was like, this makes so much sense. And now English for me was so much easier because of that. So,
and you're studying what subjects?
I'm doing business and management, and I finally declared my minor, which is philosophy. So
wow. So that's very exciting. Mm-hmm. And you're in your third year.
Yes.
So what is your ultimate goal? Do you have one yet, or is it just to finish college first and then make a goal?
As I grew up, I know that that's probably the, I don't know, most ironic question, because you grow up and you go to school and you're learning all these things and you're still like, well, I can do anything I really want to, as long as you want to do it. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have a goal other than graduating, and I have to do 2 internships. So hopefully through those, I figure out what I really want to do.
So when do you start an internship?
I have to do one before spring of 2017. Mm-hmm. I haven't set any up yet, but I am looking, so.
Wow. Yeah. That's exciting. So I'm going to turn to Katie now and ask you know, as a teacher, what makes Reuther unique, and what do you like about teaching there?
I think just the things that we've talked about already, the other just outside of the classroom things, are bring a lot of uniqueness to Reuther. But I also think just the constant development in adapting and the adjusting of our programs as a school and the history of our school. We've had everything from AIS to EL to blended to infant labs and things like that at Reuther. And we just base it off of what is our student population need, and keep adjusting and researching the best models. So I think I've enjoyed being at Reuther. I was there, excuse me, during the EL, last couple of years of EL, and then the
EL stands for
Expeditionary Learning.
Oh, okay.
After that, we've switched to the blended learning model, which I currently work in as well.
So that was my next question. Mm-hmm. Tell us about blended learning. What does that mean? How can you describe it for a listener that has never heard that term before?
Blended learning is a way for students to learn outside of, it's basically anywhere but the home, and it's a mix of direct instruction and digital content.
Mm-hmm.
It allows the students to work at their pace, work at their individual skill levels, along with working through the district curriculum. So we have a lot of different things that we use as supports in the class. Compass Learning, Achieve 3000, Alex, Clever, there's a whole bunch of digital components that we apply into our classes. And a lot of those components actually end up being where the students take a test and then they're able to work at their individual skill level. So some students will be working on trigonometry as, you know, freshmen, sophomores, and some students are going back and working on fractions or decimals or things like that, if those are the skills that they're needing, and trying to fill in the gaps that are there.
So, Amari, have you had some of these blended learning courses, and how do you feel about them?
I've had Compass, I've had Achieve 3000, and I've had Alex. Mm-hmm. Compass was one that I first learned about sophomore year, and I took it during English, and I found it very interesting because it's not something I'd done before. Like, I've never truly, like, learned something, like, from a computer, so it was interesting. And then Achieve 3000, with that, you go on it, and you read an article, and then it asks you questions about the article. And some of those questions are not, like, they're not in fine print. They want you to read between the lines of what you're asking you. And I like that because it challenges me to think differently than how I would normally think. And then with Alex, I just now discovered that this year with probability and statistics and trigonometry. And that really does help me because there's a lot of things that I don't remember from, like, algebra 2, algebra geometry. And that stuff brings it back to the forefront of my mind. It also challenges me to learn more about, like, trig. And then sometimes it goes, like, a little bit above that and gives me, like, calculus stuff. So it's just, like, I like where it puts me. I like all of these things because they challenge me to further my education and learn more.
Because you can sort of do it at your own pace and challenge yourself.
Yes, that's the one thing I also like about Reuther. They don't tell you have to be right here if you're not. So if you're below that, you don't have to worry about working your way up so quickly or shoving yourself to be there. Like, yes, you will get there eventually, but you don't have to struggle so much. And if you're above, you don't get bored because there's more stuff building on and building on and building on. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, I'm always like, you're up here. So in middle school, I would always get bored and I'd always slack off because it was like, I know all this already. What's the point? What's the point of me paying attention? So here it's like there's always stuff for me to learn. There's always more for me to understand and comprehend, and that's why I like going here.
Wow. Okay. You're a great spokesperson for the school. I can see why Mrs. Walters chose you, right?
Thank you.
So the people in the Ruther building are the focus of our attention today, but you'll have to bear with me because I was a history major and a history teacher, so I went digging around because I'm very curious about the building. I'm sure there are a lot of listeners who have been in the Ruther Auditorium, for example, which is one of the most lovely spaces for performance I've ever seen. But the building itself is pretty impressive. And so here's what I found about it. John D. Chubb was the Chicago architect responsible for the old Kenosha High School, and it was completed in 1926. He was a specialist in designing schools and related buildings. The old Kenosha High School, that was the original name, was later named Mary D. Bradford High School. And when Bradford moved to its current location, it became Ruther Central. And it's important in local history because it's the only existing historic resource associated with the development of the high school program in Kenosha, which was the very first high school in the whole state of Wisconsin back in the 1890s. We don't need to go back that far, but Karin, can you tell us anything about the recent history of the building, like when it actually started being called Ruther High School, what forms it has taken under that name?
So during the 1975-76 school year, back in the 70s, our name changed to Ruther Alternative High School. And at that time, we were located in the former UW Parkside building, which is now Bradford High School.
Oh, okay. So they switched at some point.
I think the very original spot we were was a night school in Tremper.
Oh, okay.
So we moved from there to what's now Bradford. And then when Bradford came over to its current building, we went over to the current Ruther building. And in 1980-81, our school year, we moved to that site. That's when that occurred. And in 1991, our name was changed to Ruther Central High School.
Okay. And what else has been in this building that you know of? Like what besides, I mean, the high school, has it always had about 400 students or?
Oh, no. I mean, Right now, we share the building with Harborside Academy.
Right.
So originally, probably the Kenosha High School probably had a similar number of students to what we have in there today, which is, you know, somewhere over 1,000 students total. So I think it's interesting. When we were just Ruther and there was no Harborside in with us, we were ranged anywhere from around 500 to 650 students.
Wow. So what other programs you've named, you know, you've went from EL to blended learning. Was there something that preceded EL? And I know at one point you had the infant lab in that building as well.
Well, we've had a lot of things in our building. We did have the infant lab for many, many years. That was associated with Ruther High School. And we also had the Military Academy, which is now, we started that at Ruther, and then that moved over to ITA. When they developed the academies, they decided to make one of the academies based on the Military Academy.
Okay.
Some of the current wonderful theater programs that Kenosha Unified is known for started at Ruther High School. Holly Stanfield was a Ruther High School teacher many years ago and a very talented director, and she grew that program, and it became so big it needed a bigger, more professional space than what our auditorium could provide in its state. It's an antique.
Right. It's a beautiful antique, but yes,
it's a beautiful antique, and they want to keep it the way it is. Right. So those are some of the things that started with us. The infant lab moved to ITA when Harborside moved in with us. There was no longer room for that. We also had a certified nursing assistant program, and we used to have students come from the other schools to join us to take the certified nursing assistant certification program, and that now is housed at ITA.
So you were sort of an incubator space for a lot of things.
We have been called that before, yes. I think we are the first school to have blended learning. Mm-hmm. There are other schools that have similar things, but to have a complete design model where we integrate direct instruction and digital instruction the way we do as a first, we were the first school to have expeditionary learning.
Right.
And now there are several schools that have expeditionary learning.
Right. So does anyone here know anything about Walter Reuther? Can you tell us about who that is? I know Mary Bradford, which was the previous name of the building, she was the first female superintendent, and maybe one of the first superintendents, actually, in all of Kenosha. So that's where that name came from. But who's Walter Reuther?
So Walter Reuther was one of America's great labor leaders. He was also living proof that one person can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there some kind of a plaque in, like, in the auditorium lobby? I think I've read that.
Yes. He was president of the United Automobile Workers Union. Mm-hmm. Between 1946 and 1970. And under his leadership, the American and Canadian members of the UAW obtained their fair share of the enormous wealth they produced and were able to restore dignity to the industrial work that they performed.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really an inspirational leader
mm-hmm.
for the labor unit, labor movement, as well as he really took that to a whole nother level in terms of a social movement.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, with Kenosha's history as an auto manufacturing center, that must have been the reason they chose. He doesn't have any personal connection to this town other than...
I think he visited here
he did.
Quite okay. a bit because we had such a huge
automobile
yeah. manufacturing community. And he was known for civil rights, environmental causes, public housing projects, healthcare movements. So he was a humanitarian as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably why his name and his, you know, character was viewed as something that Reuther, the school program, could identify with
uh-huh.
and care about.
Is that ever anything? Did you guys ever hear about him while you were in school? Is that not? Okay, just checking.
Probably, you know, if they did, it was probably
part of a history class or something.
It was an article in some English class that
mm-hmm.
didn't.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think, besides, we've talked about some of these things that are unique to Reuther, such as the blended learning and the guitar ensemble, et cetera. Is there anything else that you think of as being really unique, Katie? Like, what's really special that students can't take anywhere else? Or anyone else can answer
yeah.
this, actually. It sounds like you had a bunch of things that were really unique, and now they're kind of spreading out around the city, but...
Well, when you say... I don't know what you mean by take, but some of the things that I think are important to know is that our students who come to us as freshmen, many of them accelerate. They're in block scheduled classes,
mm-hmm.
so they get extra time in their coursework in some of the content areas. That's something unique.
Mm-hmm.
We do spend extra time on freshman and sophomore math and English areas. And that in the research shows that students will do better if they have that kind of double time in those areas, in those grade
mm-hmm.
levels. But we also focus on developing students' leadership abilities. We have some really fun experiences and some really cool experiences. I think both of these students have participated
mm-hmm.
in Students Against Destructive Decision Making,
yeah.
Which is, Amari participated in lessons that were done at other schools
mm-hmm.
to help teach about staying away from drugs and things like that. So the students can get involved in those kinds of projects. We have some really fun adventure clubs. We have ice fishing that happens in the winter. And, you know, I mean,
where do you go for the ice fishing?
Well, I think they have gone to some of the small lakes
mm-hmm.
out in the county.
Oh, okay.
Lake Andrea, I know, was one of them.
Oh, yes,
mm-hmm.
I've seen the fishing guys out there.
Yes, and then they've also in the spring will go fishing down by the harbor
mm-hmm.
In their clubs. And of course we have girls and boys basketball, which
mm-hmm.
The Reuther Bulldogs are a real draw for some of the students who come just because they want to play on that team.
Mm-hmm. Do you go to the games? Did you go to the games?
I did go to a few of the games my freshman year when we started cheerleading.
Oh.
Yeah, we did that for 1 year, and then the cheerleading coach, she was working at Ruth Rand at Central, and mm-hmm. then she went to Central, and it has been picked up again. Mm-hmm. But it was a good experience for me because I've always wanted to be a cheerleader.
So you got your chance.
I did, and I really enjoyed it. I'm not really flexible, but I can pick up a few moves.
That's fun.
I think another thing that is interesting to Ruther is the whole intensive process. At the end of each semester, the students have a week. It's really 4 days of, we call it intensive. So it's either going to be a fun elective intensive mm-hmm. week or it's going to be an academic week. At the end of the semester, if students are still missing work or haven't completed their assignments in order to receive the credit, they are automatically put into what we call academic intensive. It's basically a four-day study hall. until they get their assignments done. And it's a time for them to work with teachers, get some reteaching, making sure that the learning targets and the standards are all met in order to get their credit. And the students that are completed with their assignments at the end of this quarter, this semester, get to choose a fun intensive. So we've had everything from a basketball intensive to scrapbooking to ice fishing, camping trips.
Musha did a building boats.
Oh yeah,
building boats.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Wood boats.
I remember that.
Trying to think what other ones we've had. Many different like craft ones,
girls clubs and stuff like that, like yoga clubs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Extreme fitness,
culinary, where like the kids made all the food for like the teachers and stuff. So the teachers would come down to Paul's room, which is our culinary teacher, and they'd eat there. And
we could buy lunch every day for a really nice price and a really good lunch. From that.
Yeah. So I just think that drives a lot of kids, one, to get their work done in mm-hmm. order to experience things that they aren't able to experience because we do have a limited elective choice throughout, you know, our content and stuff. So I think just having that variety at that time, a lot of kids, you know, really push towards the motivation of getting to do one of the fun electives or going on another camping trip or things like that. So I think that's another very unique thing to Ruther.
Hmm. Wait, I heard you talk about culinary class. Mm-hmm. Tell me something about that.
Okay, so Paul Kasperzak, he's the culinary teacher, and I've done it for 4 years. So I've been there 4 years. So what we do is we go in there and, like, Paul will play us a video. It could be about bread. And then he'd give us a worksheet in the book. And we're like, okay, Paul, what is this for? And it could have everything to do with bread. And then, like, the next day we'd come back and we'd make muffins. Like, he'd hand out recipes and we'd make it from scratch. Like, it's not out of a box. So everything we make is literally from scratch. And he does it by units. And he skips around the book. It's not like, oh, we're going to do bread and then we're going to learn about muffins and the donuts. Like, he literally skips around. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the kids love his class because he's laid back and he's cool and he's not like, you have to do it this way. If you don't do it right, it's not right. Mm-hmm. Like, you can, like, skip a few steps sometimes. It may not turn out the way you want it to, but mm-hmm. it's still going to turn out right.
It's like science.
He's allowing you to fail.
He's allowing you to fail and learn from your mistakes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do we still make those cookies and sell them in the guidance?
Yes,
those
we still do that.
What kind of cookies?
Chocolate chip cookies. They'd mm-hmm. sell, like, 2 for $1, and they would make them for lunch. They'd bring them out and... No, in the morning. I don't even know when they would put them out, but they would be gone within the hour because everyone would go into the small little guidance room and buy them. And if
it's
you
part
missed
of a
it,
service
you missed
project
it.
Too. The, mm-hmm. it there's funds raised by that to give to American Cancer Society.
Wow, so that sounds like a really good class to have, both because it's fun, but you know everyone has to eat. In the long run, that's a really important skill that you can take with you, right?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Are there any students who like end up being chefs coming out of that or not?
We have had students go on to culinary school. So mm-hmm. we usually have a couple every year that emerges as a career interest for them, and Paul is able to really help mentor them in those directions, and they've gone on. We've also had a lot of students going through those classes get jobs, you know, mm-hmm. just part-time jobs working in restaurants and things because they've been around food, and he teaches with practices that are restaurant ready kinds of practices, so the students get a lot of experience that way.
Wow, that sounds really cool. You know what? I had meant to do this reintroduction at the halfway point, and we're already only have like 10 minutes left. Can you believe it? this has been such an interesting conversation, but let me just tell you, I'm talking to Amari Robinson, who's currently a senior at Reuther High School. Jessica Ocampo is a 2013 Reuther graduate and a third-year student at El Verno College studying business management and philosophy. Katie Otto has been a ninth-grade special education teacher at Reuther for 6 years and teaching in the blended learning program for 4 years. And Karen Walters started at Reuther Central as 12 years ago as the assistant principal and is in her sixth year as principal. So I already kind of got to this question, but maybe, Jessica, you can answer this one too. You have to take your regular academic courses, and you have these unique programs that I've been hearing about. What other kinds of activities are there? I heard there's a basketball team. I've heard about a culinary class, but that's a class. I've heard about a guitar ensemble. Is there anything I'm missing? Do you remember anything fondly of activities or clubs or anything that you did?
I remember doing a lot of work with Jeff Slater, who I believe is at Bradford now, but he was kind of like the business side of, we created a school store with that, and we did a lot of projects within the school. Like, we one year did like an awareness for breast cancer, so we had to really, he wanted us to show him that we can, you know, create plans for school. So we had to set up, we had to write like a note to him and with our proposition and what our goal was and how we were going to meet it. So I remember that. But there was a lot of things that we did within our school that we didn't have. So we had to try to put it through him, kind of, so to speak, and just show that we can do it ourselves because we didn't have those.
It sounds sort of a little stuff. Bit like being at a small college where you if something doesn't exist, you can create it. Is that a little bit what's happened?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
so like there's something people want to do. They go to one of the teachers or the principal and say, can we do this? Mm-hmm. And then you can try it. Is that
one of the things that I think we haven't mentioned, though, is we have a really fabulous art teacher, too.
Oh, yeah.
And he has, in just a few short years, and so he's relatively new
like
to Reuther.
2 years, including this one.
He's developed a range of regular art courses that students have access to. But then in addition, at the end of our day, we have something called iBlock, which is our extra help time for students, kind of a structured study period. Sometimes interventions occur there. But also that's when our guitar ensemble meets and practices. And he teaches students who want to propose an advanced art class.
Mm-hmm.
So if students are really interested in developing a portfolio for art and going on in art and an art endeavor, he'll work with them on an independent study basis during that iBlock.
Mm-hmm.
Usually there's several students doing that at a time.
This is Amari. Another thing we haven't mentioned is the book club and the partnership we have with Carthage.
Oh, yes. I remember about this. Tell the listeners.
So every year we pick a book or something close to it, and we read, like, either we read the whole book, parts of a book, different things out of it, and then we have a writing contest. So kids at Reuther, whether you're in an English class or not, would write based off of that and send it in and submit it. If they chose to, it's not a requirement. It's a requirement for the class, but not for you to submit it. And then after that, like, the Carthage students would read it and, like, give you tips, and then they'll send it back if you're a finalist if they like it. And then you spend, like, I think it's, like, a whole class period, like, in the library or somewhere, and, like, the Carthage students come in and they talk to you, and you, like, spend, like, a week revising it, and then you send it back in, and then they go with the top five finalists, and you get scholarships that way.
Wow, that is really cool. Mm-hmm. So you have, I kind of thought this might happen, but I'm a little blown away by all of these ideas and these exciting things. It sounds like there's just a lot of energy in Reuther High School, and people are doing all different kinds of very exciting things while they're there.
Yes, I would agree.
Yes. So as a good way to end, I know that a lot of times listeners like to hear great stories coming out of our school, so we have about 3 minutes left. So if everyone could tell us something about a student who really benefited from Ruther's unique culture, and in case in Amari and Jessica's case, it could be you, or maybe it's a friend of yours or something like that. So maybe we'll start with Katie and see what
sure.
you have to say.
As I'm thinking, there's been so many success stories that I've noticed, but the one that really sticks out to me was a student that ended up transferring to us from one of the other comprehensive high schools and was just very credit deficient, was starting to get, parents and family was concerned about starting to get involved with wrong stuff outside of school. And so they had him transfer to Ruther. At first, very negative attitude, and then all of a sudden he started realizing that the teachers aren't going to give up on you. Mm-hmm. And so his attitude just started changing. He ended up graduating last year from Ruther, and it was just awesome seeing him transition, because I've started with him in ninth grade, and seeing his overall attitude just change throughout the years was really cool. And then to watch him walk across the stage was just, as a teacher, that those are the moments where you go, oh, and he came in thinking the worst of everything, and now he has his, you know, high school diploma. So it's very cool.
Okay, we have about a minute and a half. So Mary,
I have a great story of a student who struggled in middle school, and he did graduate as well last year and is in college now, but he shared with me that he really had trouble with peers in middle school, and he decided that he was going to walk away from what was a negative peer group for him and get a fresh start. Started with us in ninth grade and just made up his mind that he was going to be a really good student starting in ninth grade. He ended up being one of our top graduates within the four-year periods and is now in college. But a very different feeling that he would have had if people had known him in middle school.
Hmm. That's a really great story. If you have 10 seconds. Or maybe you can just, your own success stories speak for themselves. We are almost out of time. I would have loved to hear one more, but I'm going to just have to say thank you to all of you. So Jessica Ocampo, who is at El Verno College and thriving, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And then we have Amari, who's going to graduate in June, yes?
Yes.
And do you have big plans for yourself?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, I'll bet we're all going to hear, I'm going to watch for your name in the newspaper where it says what people's plans are, okay? And Katie Otto, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
And Karen Walters, thank you for sharing your school with us.
Thank you for having us.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
On Community Matters, and my guests both come from Walworth County. In the year and a half I've been doing this show, we rarely have more than two, but boy, do we have two this week. Making a return visit is Dave Brettle, the county administrator for Walworth County, and joining him for the first time is Walworth County Sheriff Kurt Picknell. Our main topic is going to be about public safety. And what a year it's been in terms of law enforcement and public safety. And there'll be plenty for both gentlemen to talk about, given both their responsibilities for keeping the county safe and, in the case of the administrator, keeping the county funded and figuring out where those dollars go. And I also want to point out for those of us listening across our wide area of southeastern Wisconsin and northern Illinois that Walworth County's story is your story, too. You've been affected by many of the issues in the past year in public safety. We, as members of the states of Wisconsin and Illinois, members of the Midwest, and indeed of Americans, there has been so much going on. And I think you'll find the next 45 minutes to be of great value this Saturday morning. Well, first of all, Dave Brettle, County Administrator, welcome back. It's good to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me, Jim. I think it's been about a year since I've been here, and I thought I'd bring our sheriff along with me. Kurt has been in office for coming up on a year now, been with the county for a long time and under sheriff before that, but happy to be here and talk about some of the public safety issues today.
Sheriff, great to have you. Since I last saw you in uniform, you've added three stars.